Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Tiger basketball, because the Tigers snapped a three-game losing streak Sunday at FedEx Forum. Beat UConn 78-71, so now they're 14-10 overall, 6-5 in the AAC, up to 80th at KenPom, up to 68th in the net. Kevin Davenport scored a game-high 26 points. Tyler Harris got 12 off the bench. Memphis shot 48.2% from the field, 38.1% from three-point range, 88.9% from the free throw line. Just good numbers across the board. And yes, I know UConn was shorthanded and is rebuilding under first-year coach Dan Hurley, similar to the way Memphis is having to rebuild under first-year coach Penny Hardaway. But in year one of Penny Hardaway, I think you just take wins over big brands, however you can get them, whenever you can get them, and you apologize for nothing. And so Penny will take it, I'm certain. But more than anything, I think yesterday was a glimpse of what's to come. And not only for the Memphis basketball program, but for the Connecticut basketball program and for the American Athletic Conference in general. I really love this quote from UConn coach Dan Hurley after yesterday's game. Here's what he said. He said, "I said to Penny in the handshake line, I don't expect us with what we've got coming in and what we're going to build and what he's going to build, I don't expect us to come into these games 13-10 in the future." That was both teams' record yesterday entering the game. "Obviously, I think the programs are going to spike in terms of what we look like next time we meet on the court. It could look a little bit different, not in terms of necessarily the result, but in terms of what it looks like and in terms of what's at stake," end quote. And I thought it was important note that he made it clear. I'm not saying next time we play, we're going to beat Memphis. I'm just saying next time we play, we ain't going to be a 10-loss team, and they ain't going to be a 10-loss team. Next time we play, we're going to have Memphis looking more like what Memphis needs to look like and Connecticut looking more like what Connecticut normally looks like. Because right now, Memphis and UConn both have top 20 classes on the way. Memphis's is a little more heralded because it includes James Wiseman, the number one prospect in the class 2019, according to some recruiting services. But UConn's got a nice class as well. And that quote from Dan, I think, echoes what I've been saying for a while about the American Athletic Conference. And I'll get back to that in a moment. But first, pause. You guys got a treat out of Dan Hurley yesterday,
boy,
I imagine.
That guy can get after it.
So I was, like I said, sitting on an airplane on a runway waiting for somebody to de-ice us.
Oh, man.
And then like just sitting in an airport waiting for somebody to tell us we can get on a de-iced plane after they removed us from the plane after like 3 hours. So I'm watching the game on my phone and following on Twitter, and you know every other tweet is like, Dan Hurley is a maniac. And to that I would just say, yes, he is absolutely a maniac. Mark Giannotto pointed this out on Twitter, the fine columnist at the Commercial Appeal. Like, if you ever get to know Dan or get him away from really just the sideline, he's pretty thoughtful. I won't say quiet, but, like, he's not yelling all the time. He's a pretty, like, under control guy. But something happens to him when he gets on the sideline. And Bobby Hurley, by the way, is just like him.
Yeah.
The Hurley brothers, we've got a handful of brothers like coaching in college basketball now. The Drew brothers, Scott and Bryce, the Miller brothers, Sean and Archie, the Hurley brothers, Dan and Bobby. And by far, we can rank the brother tandems in terms of ability however you want. Yeah. Like, I think you can make reasonable arguments for any of them. But undeniably, the craziest brother tandem, that's Bobby and Dan. They're bananas.
They get after it.
He's not like that in real life. Yeah. Like, I've had 45-minute phone conversations with Dan Hurley, and you would never hang up the phone and then expect to see that guy on the sideline. But that's who he's been for a while. It's just now on a bigger stage because he's on a bigger stage. He's the UConn coach. He's now coaching at places like Memphis and Cincinnati and Houston and Wichita, as opposed to, you know, A-10 school. So new fan bases are exposed to this, and every time it can be jarring because you're watching a guy like, legit lose his mind on the sideline. He's cussing at everybody and about everything. Yeah. He's just worked up nonstop. And it is one of the things I know. And, like, I find it entertaining. I do find it sometimes over the line a little, if only because I don't think that's the way I would be if I were a coach. I don't think I'd be a yeller and a screamer. I think all coaches need to have their moments. Otherwise, you know, you don't have officials on edge. Like, if officials aren't scared, you might jump down them, or at least aware that you might jump down them. They might be a little more willing to make a block charge call go the other way. There really is an art to staying on officials to make sure it'll get you a call somewhere. And it could be a game-deciding call. So I do think you have to sort of play the game of how coaches treat officials and talk to officials. But I do think Dan is obviously excessive. I find it entertaining for the same reasons everybody else does, but I also do find it over the line at times. It's always been weird to me the way – watch it next time you're at a game. You know, the teams come – and that, you know, the cheerleaders run out and they got the big flags and the teams come out and they're going through layup lines, whatever. We, you know, we're like 3-4 minutes from tip off or 3-4 minutes from the starting lineups, and the officials come out and the officials walk to both staffs and they shake, everybody shakes hands and it's like, hey, how you doing? How you kids? Good to see you again. And then you throw the ball up and it's like, F you, what are you watching? You stupid F. Yeah. You know, like, it's just like, it goes from very cordial to like, you're talking to me in a way, from an official's perspective, you're talking to me in a way you wouldn't talk to another human being on this planet. 3 minutes ago, you asked me how my wife and children were doing. Like, what is wrong with you? But that's just sort of the way college basketball goes. So, anyway, I do know this. There have been people who have talked to Dan in years past. Really, when he was at Rhode Island and got that thing going, and it was clear he was going to be he ain't going to retire at Rhode Island. That became clear pretty quickly. Like, is he going to be the Rutgers coach because he's got the New Jersey background, or is he gonna, you know, wait for a big job like UConn? But he was always going to be something other than the Rhode Island coach. I think even Rhode Island fans and administration knew that. Mm-hmm. But I know it was something people had talked to Dan about, like, that might work for you, your sideline behavior, and it might get more out of kids. It might be effective with the officials. It's hurting you with athletic directors. There's not every athletic director will just say it's a non-starter, but there's some athletic director who will pop into one of your games or watch you at a conference tournament or watch you in the NCAA tournament or just get film on you, and they will watch this behavior and just say, I can't have that as a visual connected to my basketball program. So he has in recent years, toned it down. Matt Norlander, my colleague at CBS Sports, went to Rhode Island, I think last year, and did a nice story about Dan Hurley trying to just calm the F down a little bit. But clearly yesterday he had thrown that out the window.
Calling fans douches.
Yesterday was, if he has a pattern of calming down.
Yeah, that wasn't it.
He reverted yesterday to the old Dan Hurley. And my understanding is people sitting around the UConn bench were treated to quite something. I'll just leave it at that. Anyway, to go back to the league in general and Dan's quote about thinking these programs are going to look a lot different next time Memphis UConn play, assuming they don't play again this season. Undeniably, it's true, and it's tied to recruiting rankings. And like I said, it echoes something that I've said for a while about the American Athletic Conference, which is this thing can go from to, oh, man, it's really good.
Right.
And it's not even like you don't need a big imagination to figure it out. All you have to do is keep Cincinnati where Cincinnati is consistently under Mick Cronin, which is a top 30, 35 program, a program that got a 2 seed in the NCAA tournament last season. That's the high end. But for a long time now, Mick hasn't had a bad team. It's one of the reasons in the preseason I picked Cincinnati to win the league. And I might end up being wrong. It might just be Houston, right? Because Kelvin's done an amazing job.
They're close.
But they're close. Yeah. They're the second best team in the league. And when I would rank them in the top 25-1, which, by the way, they're still there this morning at 26. When I had them, I think at 26, maybe in the preseason or right around there, people would say, but you know they lost A, B, and C. And I'd say, yeah, they lost a lot. But, you know, Mick, he doesn't always lose a lot. But when he does lose a lot, it doesn't seem to matter. Mm-hmm. He has really got his fingerprints all over that program. And, you know, whether it's Sean Kilpatrick or Jaron Cumberland, like the guys just sort of there's a new guy who looks exactly like the last guy every time since the end of the season. And obviously, if you watch Memphis, you see last week, you know it's Jaron Cumberland. He was terrific.
Yeah.
He took over the game in the final minutes. He's the reason Cincinnati won and Memphis lost. Cincinnati had a guy who could do that. Memphis didn't have a guy who could do that. So you just keep Cincinnati where it's been under Mick consistently. That's not a stretch. Just keep doing what you're doing. Nothing more. We don't need anything more out of you. Just be what you've been. You get Houston to just keep doing what it's doing under Kelvin. Nothing more. We need nothing more out of you. You don't have to go recruit better. You don't have to just keep doing what you're doing. And that's fine. 2 years in a row now. Top 25 team. Get Wichita State back to where it's been under Greg Marshall. And that might be a little more difficult because it's possible Greg just sort of caught something there with, you know, Fred VanVleet, Ron Baker, Landry Shamet, all coming like back to back to back. Like, how often are you going to have three NBA guards at Wichita State? It's possible he just sort of like caught something there. But I will say, if you go back and look at Greg's track record dating all the way back to Wofford, he has been a consistent winner, and I don't see any reason that will change on a macro level. Maybe he never gets it back to where Wichita's ranked in the top 10 consistently. Wichita's going undefeated, getting a one seed in the tournament. Wichita's going to a Final Four. But can Wichita be a legitimate top 40 program consistently? Yeah, I think so. So then you got three. And then you just get Memphis back to being what Memphis needs to be. You get UConn back to being what UConn needs to be. And then you've got five. I think you could reasonably say you've got five top 50 programs in America. And if those if they can be five top 50 teams year in and year out, well, then guess what you're racking up every time you play, just about every time you play in your league?
Yeah, the quad one wins, yeah.
You're getting quad one wins. You're getting top 50 wins at home. Yeah. You're getting top 50 opportunities on the road. Like right now, I was in Nevada over the weekend, and if people want to ding them a little bit, even though they're sitting here at whatever and one, you know, it's that they don't have any top 40 KenPom wins. They do not have any wins over top 25 teams. Well, to just say it like that is to, ignore context. Nevada, it's literally been impossible for them to have a top 40 KenPom win or have a win over top 25 team. They scheduled aggressively in their non-league. They're playing their Mountain West schedule. The Mountain West schedule gives them no opportunities.
No.
Like I had somebody point out to me over the weekend, well, Nevada can't really be a top 10 team because they haven't beaten a top 25 team. If you gave the Golden State Warriors Nevada's schedule, guess how many wins right now they'd have over top 25 teams?
Zero.
Same amount.
Right.
Now, would you say, well, the Warriors can't be a top 10 team because they don't have a top 25 win? Well, if you know the Warriors are awesome, and I'm not comparing one to the two.
I got you.
But if you know the Warriors are awesome, and you also know the reason they don't have this thing that you want them to have is because it's literally impossible for them to get, then what are we talking about? Nevada can't be a top 10 team. Then you're just like, you're penalizing them because UNLV's not any good. Or because New Mexico's not any good. Well, because San Diego State's not any good. Why would you penalize a team? Because the other teams in the league ain't doing their job. Like, Eric Musselman's job is not to make the Mountain West good. He can't recruit for UNLV or coach San Diego State. All Eric Musselman's job is to make Nevada as awesome as he can make it, and he's done that. So I reject the idea that, well, they can't be a top 10 team because they don't have top 25 wins. They can't get them in their league. It's not their fault. They scheduled aggressively. They scheduled Arizona State. They scheduled Utah. They scheduled Loyola Chicago coming off of a Final Four. They went on the road and played these games. They beat everybody's brains in. It's not their fault Loyola Chicago's not any good. It's not their fault USC has been injured and not any good. Not their fault Utah's not any good. Not their fault Arizona State until this past weekend has fallen off since it beat Kansas earlier in the season. And so I would say that these types of things have big impacts on leagues and on teams. If you're in a league, you need other teams to be quality, to give you quality opportunities. The rare exception maybe being Gonzaga, because it is now such a big basketball brand. Mark Few can go out and schedule whatever he needs to schedule. You know, Mark can like actually get a home and home with North Carolina. He can go to Maui. He can play neutral sites with Tennessee because Gonzaga is a big brand. TV recognizes it that way. They give them those opportunities. Nevada ain't quite there yet. And Memphis is probably, definitely, a bigger brand than Nevada, but still the point remains the same. It doesn't matter how good you might be with James Wiseman and DJ Jeffries and presumably Trendon Wofford and second-year players like Antoine Jones and Isaiah Maurice and Tyler Harris and Alex Lomax. if your league doesn't give you opportunities to get quality wins, people are going to try to ding you on that, unless you are just so awesome that you cannot be denied. That's like Memphis in 2006, Memphis in 2008, Gonzaga when it got a one seed in the tournament, Wichita State when it got a one seed in the tournament. And so this is all good stuff for the league. I thought Dan really touched on something that's important. We're going to look different in a year. Memphis going to look different in a year. And if you combine that with Cincinnati being what it needs to be, Houston continuing to be what it is, Wichita State getting back to what it needs to be, well, then you've got five high-level teams that should all be good more often than not, year in and year out. And then what that does is give everybody in the league plenty of opportunities to prove what you are. And then you know what else I think it does? Probably puts you in a conversation to be a top five league in America. Right now, the top seven are the Power Five leagues plus the Big East, then the American Athletic Conference. And it's always, or usually, the AAC is seventh of those seven. But there's no reason it can't bump ahead of the Pac-12. There's no reason it can't bump ahead of the Big East. I mean, the Big East has Villanova, Marquette,
yeah, sure.
Butler, Seton Hall, mm-hmm. St. John's, Creighton, Providence. Good programs. Xavier down right now, but good program. But you get those five programs I've mentioned, Memphis, UConn, Wichita, Houston, Cincinnati, all operating at the level that is reasonably possible for them. You've got an incredible basketball league, and I thought it was interesting that even in defeat, Dan Hurley sort of touched on that yesterday. We'll talk more about this with Jeff Calkins at 5 o'clock. When we come back, David Cobb, Grizzlies beat writer, commercial appeal. The return of Chandler Parsons is not too far away. We'll talk about that. Life after Marc Gasol. David Cobb coming up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.